Brother Mansoor to please come up to the podium and give a presentation on the life and books of Shaheed Arif Hussain Husseini. Please welcome him with a loud salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي.
So let's start with the one true event. So this is actually told to me by a person, and this is the first hand information to me. So for you it might be a second hand information, but this is the first hand information. Think about a person who is a gang leader. He was actually a bandit chieftain in the mountains of Balochistan somewhere. He was, of course, doing all sorts of stuff that was supposed to be done by a bandit chieftain. This person was a driver, actually, at a home in Karachi, and for almost 2 years he was driving. He was there driving their car, and then when he is not driving, then he is just sitting outside, and he always has a tasbih in his hand. A very humble person, a very nice person. So one day what happened is that the family was driving. They were driving from actually North Azamabad to Clifton and around the downtown area of Karachi, which is the Empress Market. There was an issue. So what happened is that another car or another, there was a brawl, it was a verbal discussion, it actually became into a heated verbal this exchange, and eventually it escalated to a physical brawl. What happened is that this is the day when the family saw that person in a very different tone. This person, this very humble driver, got out of the car, and then physically he actually beaten up the driver of the other person of the other van, because the other person was, of course, at fault. He was, of course, not using very good language as well at that moment, because he was enraged. The person came back, the driver came back to the car, and then he was sitting as if nothing happened. So my friend, who was there in the car with his mother, they really had no idea what just happened. So they let it go, they went to wherever they were going, and then after dropping off the mother, he asked the driver, like, what happened? Why did you behave you were not supposed to be doing like this. I have always seen you as a humble person. It was strange. And then the person actually started giving his story. He said that I was a bandit chieftain. And then he went on to his life history, which was never revealed to that family earlier. This is very motivating. This is very inspiring. This is strange. So that person told the family, that brother, that what happened one day is that we were actually going on a robbery, and then another gang attacked the village of this person because he was a chieftain of the bandit. So they punished this person by killing his father, his brother, and his uncle. His mother was so enraged that he stopped this person to join the funeral of his own father. He was very enraged, he was very sad, disappointed. He went on to another village. He saw a mosque. He went there and he got asleep for some time. When he woke up, there was a program going on in the mosque, and a Maulana was doing a speech. He sat down, he was listening to the speech, and then during the speech, he raised his hand and he said, Maulana, what are you talking about? I've never heard these type of things. Maulana smiled back at him and told him, but brother, you never used to come to mosques as well. So this was a shock to him. After the speech was done, he sat down with that scholar, and that scholar gave him some motivational talk, some advice, some spiritual connection was made between these two persons. And then the Maulana was there for 10 days, and this person was with him for all his speeches around the whole area. He left everything. He became a true religious person. He never went into details of what did he do to do the tawbah. You know, inshallah, I assume that he returned back all the rights, whatever he usurped from other people. That was not discussed, but what happened eventually is that he became, and I think you understood from this, at this point, that this Maulana was Shaykh Qayyad Allama Sayyid Arif Hussain Al-Husayn. This person then actually went with Shaheed Qaid as a driver and as a bodyguard, and then finally Shaheed sent him to another family in Balochistan. These guys were really very rich, but they never took out their homes. This now converted person, in my own terms, was so influential on that family that whole family became very religious, and they took out their homes, and then to celebrate giving out homes for the first time, they had a walima for 7 days in their whole village. It is just one part of that. And then eventually this person actually came to Karachi and then became the driver of this family. Now think about Shaheed Qayyad and his impact on the whole Pakistan. This was just one incident that I came to know. This is not in any book, and this happened to a brother who lives in North America, by the way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's start the presentation now, inshallah. So this is a presentation, a short review of his life and introduction of books on him. So most of you probably would know, this is mostly for kids and younger people. Shaheed was born on 25th of November, 1946. Amazingly, his love of books was very evident since his childhood. As you may have heard, that our Prophet he used to herd sheep, and then he was a shepherd himself. Shaheed Qayyad was also a shepherd himself at one point in time during his childhood. And while doing the sheep herding, he used to read books even. He had best morals, and he was most respected among all the students during his school time as well as his madrasa time in Jamia Jafaria in Parachanar, in Madrasa Jafaria. He was known for his taqwa, and he tried to always do his namaz-e-shab. In some of the books, if you inshallah read those books, I'll go through the books later, you will find out details from people that no matter whatever the problem is going on in Pakistan, whether there was a big killing in Quetta or there was some arrest going on in some other cities, even if he's sleeping for 2 hours, he would get up and he would do his namazisha. Inshallah, hopefully we'll all try to do that. So he moved to Najaf at the age of 21, and he was not just doing his hawza there, he was doing the service of Islam there. So whatever task is coming to him, and whatever he thinks that his chari zimmedari is, or his responsibility is, he was trying to discharge that. And because of that, he was arrested in Najaf as well. He had a special connection when he was there in Najaf. He used to visit him, he used to attend his dars. And he was actually told by many other Pakistani students to not do all these things because you might get arrested. And of course, Shaheed was not the person who was deciding about his activities based on the fear against him, based on the things that he's encountering, based on his immigration status, you can say in our terms, you would understand this term probably better. Imam Khomeini's, he became the wakil of Imam Khomeini, and later, of course, as you all know, that he was the representative of Wali-e-Faqih in Pakistan. In 1974, after around 6 or 7 years of studies, he was banned in Najaf, he was expelled from Najaf, and then he had to move to Qom. Actually, he came back to Pakistan first, and then he went to Qom. His teachers, during all his time in Najaf and Qom, most, like these are the most prominent teachers. There were other teachers as well. Shaheed Mutahri, Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi, Ayatollah Wahid Khorasani, Ayatollah Sabrezi, and Ayatollah Haram Panahi are the ones who are, which are mentioned and which Shaheed used to. You can see some pictures here as well with some of his teachers. He was actively involved in revolutionary movement while he was in Iran. When he moved to Iran in 74, he was actively involved, and so much so that actually he was arrested by SAVAK, which was the intelligence agency of Iran as well. So I'll try to be quick, inshallah, just to give more time to other, actually there is only one speech. So, Sheikh Mohammad Hussain. In 1997, he returned to Pakistan because, again, he was not officially expelled, but he was made to go to Pakistan by SAVAK. He was in that situation where he could not stay in Iran. He came back, he started teaching, and then he was working for the community. He was not a leader. Remember, it was 1977 when he returned back. He was not a leader formally of any organization or of any anjuman or any tahreek. Still, he was busy. When there was a big attack on Parashanar, he was actually fighting with all other people. He was arrested in Pakistan. He helped Afghan Mujahideen when they came in Pakistan, because a number of those really did not have anything to even eat or sleep anywhere. He started working against American conspiracy since day one. And he knew that sectarian strifes are really, that sectarian strifes are really not good for anybody, whether it is Shia or Sunni. It is not the thing that we should be going towards. He fought himself against American agents, and he got injured at one point in time as well. Shaheed was very young when Shia convention happened. Probably a number of you would know that there was a big Shia convention in 1980 in Pakistan, when the main secretariat or the main area was surrounded by Shia organization, Tehreek-e-Nifaz-e-Fiqh-e Jafariya. And the demands actually were very simple, that do not impose anything on us which does not belong to our religion. So this was the conspiracy that Ziaulhaq was trying to do, and then Mufti Jafar Hussain stood up against him, and Shaheed was working as a very strong, active volunteer scholar for that movement. Shaheed, since day one, was the one who was exposing the real face of America and Pakistan. You have to remember this, because if you don't understand this point, it will be very difficult for you to understand how he got martyred and what really happened. So right after the demise of Mufti Jafar Hussain, who was the Qaid or the leader of the whole Shia nation, there was a conspiracy. Ziaulhaq knew that if another strong leadership emerged, then he would not have any chance to negate the contract, that the agreement that was done between Shia, Tehreek-e-Nifaz-e-Fiqh-e Jafariya, and between Pakistani government. So there was a conspiracy, and then there was another alim who was made or announced as the leader of the Shias. Of course, this was not based on the constitution of Tehreek-e-Nifaz-e-Fiqh-e Jafariya. It was made by some person, people, some group of people. And eventually, Shaheed got his martyrdom after a very short span of, I would say, like around 4.5 years, he got martyred in Pakistan on 5th of August. Today is the date when, as you may have heard, that he was the person who was martyred as his grandfather, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, was martyred around the time of the Fajr. For Muhammad wa sallam. Imam Khomeini talked about two people for their thoughts, and he called those two persons as my son. One of them was Shaheed Qaid Allama Sayyid Arif Hussain al-Husseini, and the other one was Shaheed Mutahari. Imam Khomeini recommended that thoughts, ideology, and the teachings of two scholars should be kept alive. Of course, he said it at two different occasions, and he said that it should be studied, preserved, and followed. And that's why we are here. So all of the young guys, they have to understand that he was not just one guy in history who did something and he went away. No, this is the person whose thoughts are needed to be kept alive. Because his thoughts are Islamic thoughts. His thoughts are not his own thoughts. In his condolence message, Imam Khomeini said, the road to fight against American Islam is very difficult and puzzling. Therefore, it is necessary that all possible factors should be made clear for the impoverished Muslim masses. If this work would have been done through Islamic schools, then there is high possibility that he, Arif Hussain al-Husseini, would be living amongst us today. So now it is necessary for us to fight against the Western and Eastern tyrants with all of our courage and understanding. And in the same letter which he wrote before his chehlo, he said, I have lost my son. Dr. Muhammad Ali Naqvi actually quoted a saying of Shaheed Bakr al-Sadr of Iraq, and he said, Zubu fi Khomeini kama zaba huwa fi Islam. Means fuse yourself in Imam Khomeini as just as Imam Khomeini fuses himself into Islam. So Dr. Muhammad Ali Naqvi quoted Ayatollah Bakr al-Sadr and concluded that Martyr Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini was one such personality, same like Imam Khomeini, that he has fused himself into Islam. And he has fused himself into Imam Khomeini, of course, and through that to Islam. A quick survey was done recently in trying to know how many people know Imam Khomeini, know Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini in detail. Like how many books, how do you know a person, by the way? Either you talk to that person, you live with that person, or you talk to some people who know him very well, or you listen to his direct speeches, or you go through his books, or you go through his lectures. How many books do you think are printed on his life, about him, of his lectures, and of his speeches? So I'll give a number, and then I would like you to please raise your hand if you think that number is right. What about if I say that almost like 6 books have been written about all these things? And other number would be just, I'm not going to say the right number, by the way. So what about number 15? How many of you think that there should be more than 15 books on him? No?
5 or 6.
It's fine. I was, of course, not expecting the right answer because the online survey that was done, unfortunately, there were very few answers that were correct. The total books that have been compiled on him or about him is 11. There are only 2 which are available online as a link, and there are 2 other PDFs. Inshallah, other will be available very soon, by the way. So total 4 PDFs are available as of today in a very clean format. One more. So now, before we talk about books, let's talk about different dimensions that Shaheed was actually working into so that you can connect yourself with the books. And I personally would request you and highly recommend you to try to at least read 3 books that I will mention, inshallah. At least those 3 books. It would really help you change your life. I can almost guarantee you that you can have change your life. So the different dimensions that a leader has to work on the community is the awareness about unity, the spiritual development of the whole nation or the community, and giving the thought process and telling them how to recognize the enemy, and of course giving them the courage and will. And then motivation, of course, comes after that, and this cannot happen without having excellence in organizational structure. So these are the 3 books that I would personally recommend that you should go through. So the first one is Safir-e-Noor, and the summary of that is also printed as Khatil-e-Sahar. So these are 2 books, actually one of these you can check, you can pick. talks about the life of the priest and the chilling detail of actually his murder, and then what happened, how he got martyred, how many people were involved, and then the personal stories of the killer himself, like how did he feel and what was he feeling and after the killing. The second one is lecture on morality, Dars-e-Ikhlaq, which is called Payam-e-Noor of Shaheed. These are the lectures compiled, which are only lectures on morality. And then the last one is his speeches on early days of his leadership and about Hausa. And it talks a lot about the conflict resolution issues within the community and how people were behaving and how he wanted people to work with him. And when people were not working him, then how he was complaining. There is a lot to learn from these three books. So just quickly, inshallah, other books that are available are Adab-e-Karwan and then Sukhan-e-Ishq, Guthar-e-Sirr, Fasl-e-Siyasat. Inshallah, we'll go quickly in the detail. And these are the books. So there are 11 books, Payam-e-Noor, Adab-e-Karwan, Safir-e-Noor, Fasl-e-Siyasat, Guthar-e-Sirr. You can see that. Can you go back? So lectures on moral values, speeches on organization and community matters, biography and chilling details of his case after martyrdom, shorter version of the book Safir-e-Noor, which is the above one, speeches of Shaykh Khair on Quranic insight, Maarif-e-Quran, lectures on moral values, and majalis. And he used to recite majalis, by the way. And then he was actually reciting majalis on the radio on Peshawar in Pashto for a long time. His speeches and lectures during early days of his leadership, and then lectures on different topics, and then last two books are heart-touching commentary during Dua Kumail. This is the beautiful one. And then topical selection from Shaheed. Not all the books are available, by the way, now. Can you move on? So I'm not going to go in details now because there is less time. Just this one, probably. So while striving for worldly gain abroad, do not ignore religious obligations. This is one of the lectures that Shaheed gave to people who were living outside of Pakistan. So he visited different Gulf states. So this is one of the speeches from that area. So while striving for worldly gain abroad, do not ignore religious obligations. He said that successful human life is achieved when you strive for material life along with the spiritual life, and it should go hand in hand. In foreign land, aspire for halal sustenance without compromising Islamic culture and Islamic values, and keep in mind that in foreign land, your appearance reflects your country and your religion, and so you should remain committed to your religion and its value. You should stay in touch with your brothers and strengthen the brotherhood or unity and form an association and strive hard together for its cause. Then there are different topics that he touched in his book, lectures on morality. For example, he went on, there is a dars about steadfastness or istiqamat, and there is another dars about spiritual development, there was another dars about knowledge of ethics and morality, and then there was another dars about oppression of Ahlul Bayt. And there was another one with the Misaq-e-Khun that I was referring to, and then it talks about the leadership of Allama Arif and Bakr Convention and conflict resolution to resolve issues of the leadership. The goals and objectives of Tehreek-e-Nifaz-e-Jafariya, responsibilities of ulama, unity between Muslims, and he had talked about a lot about unity between Mu'mineen. So please, remember this, that this is not just about, of course, unity between Muslims. We cannot have that if we are not simultaneously working on unity between Muslims. So inshallah, these are all the books again. This is just a very high-level introduction of just these books. I have some books here. So these are not for sale, by the way. These are some books from, these are some of mine, some are some brothers. So you can take a look at that. Please try to look at these books today before you go home. And inshallah, if you really want to read one of these books, inshallah, you can manage it somehow. Let me know if you need any of these books. Inshallah, one of the good news is this, that while some brothers were trying to organize this program, we found out about this issue of the books, that books are not available in the market. There are two books that needs to be reprinted. So some brothers have promised Al-Arif Academy that we will help them. So if any one of you would like to contribute towards that cause, that his book, especially his Majalis book, will be inshallah printed before Muharram. and then it will be distributed so that people who are trying to do majalis or reciting majalis can take references from his book. So if you want to participate in that cause, please let me know or let any other brother know, inshallah we can coordinate. But Muhammad wale Muhammad salam.